Well, as we've been sharing, that in these subjects, this subject matter on positioning yourself to receive healing from God, and again, as we've been sharing, we're talking about divine healing, and we've looked at a number of things that position us, and one thing that positions us properly to receive from God is to know that it is His will to heal all, not some, all. And some may have had some experiences or bad experiences or know something and begin to question, well, I'm not sure, maybe, how come? And you cannot, first of all, if we question one thing of God, then you are putting yourself in a position to question everything that God has done. So if you begin to question that it's His will to heal all, then you may have to stand there and question the second coming of Christ. You say, well, I'm just not, because people are doing it today. Well, you know, people are saying, well, He's coming soon. They go, well, I don't know about that. Well, I wouldn't do that. You cannot question one part of the Bible and then not question others, because then you're bringing into question the validity of what God said. And so the Bible says His word is what? Forever settled in heaven. So when we have gone through and looked at God's will, we looked at John 3:14-15, how Moses put what? He lifted up a serpent on a pole, that everyone that looked was healed. We looked at 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self did what? Bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should what? Live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Christ hath, Galatians 3:13, we looked at a number of scriptures, that Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. We looked at, what else did we look at? We looked at Matthew 8 and 17, whose own self bore my, not sins, but he bore my sins and iniquities and infirmities. So we see from the scripture that if healing was provided in the Old Testament, how much more being reconciled do we have now what? A better covenant established on what? Better promises. Why? Because it's established on the blood. And so we've looked at that. We've looked at Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And then it goes on. See, this is one thing. We're not going to share it today, but another thing that can take you out of position, why don't you just turn over there, Matthew, so we all look at it together. Mark 11:25. And it says what? And when you stand praying, do what? Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So that can take you out of position. Not forgiving when you have aught against someone. So there are a number of things that can position us to receive, but what Jesus is saying here is that your faith can be affected if you have aught against someone. See? And you won't receive. So when he said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Well, your believing is affected if you got aught. So let's just quickly look at Hebrews 11:6. We've been looking at this particular scripture. in the King James. Then I want to look at it in the Message translation of Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." We all want to please him. So how do we please him? With faith. "For he that cometh to God must believe that" what? "He is, and he is" what? "A rewarder of them that" do what? "Diligently seek him." And I like the Message translation of that verse. It says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. See, the world's trying to do that. And it says, and why? "Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists." Well, you know sinners, they sometimes have a problem with that. "And that he" what? "He cares enough to respond to those" who what? "Who seek him." I like that. He cares enough to do what? To respond to those that seek him. And then let's look quickly at Mark 11 in the Passion Translation of Mark 11, 24. And we read the King James, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them." But the Passion Translation says, "This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it." See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. My faith is the evidence of something not seen. So this says here, "Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." So we have to believe we've got it. That's what the Moffat translation says. Believe you've got it, and you shall have it. And we just touched on Hebrews 3:1 on Wednesday. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So this word, profession, in the Greek, it can mean confession. Other translations say that. But this word, homologia, it just means to say the same thing. Say the same thing as what? Say the same thing that he says in his word. Not to say something different. Not to be disconnected. We need to do what? Having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. So you need to speak what you believe. We don't. So here, the profession of our faith is confessing what we believe, not something different. And he is what? The apostle and high priest of our profession. So confession, as we were sharing, is an affirmation of a Bible truth that we've embraced. It's an affirmation. It's a confession. Is simply believing with our hearts and repeating with our lips God's declaration of who we are in Christ. That's our confession. We need to confess what God says we are, not what people say we are. We need to confess what he says. So often, people submit or give in to facts. You know, you may not be the brightest light bulb in the world. I say it that way, you know. But if I'm in Christ and I have his wisdom, it says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and he searcheth all the inward parts of the belly. He can give me wisdom. You know, I think it was Sister Denise was sharing something. She said, I'm so glad I grew up in that former generation, because they may not have had education, but they had wisdom from God. So they may not have been earthly smart, but they had the wisdom of God, And they confounded some people. Like, where did that come from? God. Now, we're not against education, but what does the scripture say? It also says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will do what? He will direct your paths. So when we don't know what to do, yeah, read, get educated, but don't lean on it, because there's a lot of educated fools. So we need to just make sure that we keep things in perspective. So today, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about something that I think is necessary in positioning ourselves to receive from God, and that's having a merry heart. Having a merry heart. Having a joyful heart. You know, if you're down at the lips here now, and you're down in the dumps, it's going to be hard to receive from God. You've got to maintain a merry heart. You've got to have a cheerful countenance. There's enough scripture, and we're going to look at a few. But, you know, I remember something, you know, sometimes I think about, you know, what other ministers have shared. But I think about Brother Hagin when he was alive. He said, the word will work for you when you get excited about it. When you're excited about the word of God, it works. It'll begin to work for you. Well, where did he get that from? Let's look at a scripture. Let's look at Psalm 119, 162. And I'm going to look at the King James and then the Passion Translation. But the King James, it says, I rejoice, what? At thy word as one that findeth a great spoil. Let me ask something. When you something comes into your possession that you consider a great blessing, are you down at the dumps? Oh no. You're shouting hallelujah. You're excited, you're full of joy. But we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So this says here, let's look at the Passion Translation. I like this. See, because look at this here. It says, your promises are the source of my bubbling joy. Oh, yes, sir. Your promises are the source of my bubbling joy. The revelation of your word thrills me like one who has discovered hidden treasure. Oh, boy. How many of you had an aha moment? You go, oh, my God, I see something in the word. Glory. Hallelujah. You're excited about that. Why? Because the word, the truth shall set you free. And you're excited about that. You have joy. You don't go, well, glory to God. Praise the Lord. No. You're shouting hallelujah. I'm going to read that one more time. Your promises are the source of my bubbling joy. The revelation of your word thrills me like one who has what? Discovered hidden treasure. Oh, man. So revelation causes us to be excited about the word of God. That's why we need to let it in. This is why when it says here, let's look at Psalm 119, 130 in the Amplified. See, this is why letting in the word of God concerning healing positions ourselves to get revelation, to be thrilled about it. Not question how come. This says here, the entrance and unfolding of your words do what? Give light. Their unfolding, we're talking about revelation here now, gives what? Understanding, what else? discernment and comprehension to the simple. I like this. Discernment means the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, something that you don't know how to do. So when I have discernment, I can see how to solve something. I can see how to approach something. How is that coming? Through the Word of God. That's Joshua 1:8. Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Observe to do it. And you shall make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. That word success also means wisdom. So the more we feed upon the Word of God, the more we meditate on it, the more we speak it, homologia, profess it, that what's going to happen? Light's going to come. We're going to walk in divine health and healing. And here's the thing that I'll just share, that as we're doing that, we need to be open. Who lives in us? God lives in us. He may tell you, don't do that anymore. Make this adjustment. So when we confess the Word of God, it positions us, it opens us up to do what? Receive direction. Receive wisdom. Who is wisdom? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of wisdom lives in us. Amen. Glory to God. Why don't, look, put up Psalm 119, 130 in the Passion Translation. I like this. This is another translation here that's of Psalm 119, 130. It says here, break open your word within me until revelation, light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. Oh, man. Yes, indeed. You know, everybody's saying, I sure would like to know what God, you know, thinks about this. Open up his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look at Proverbs 17. We'll look at a few scriptures here, talking about a merry heart. Proverbs 17 and verse 22 in the King James says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, you know, sometimes you look at that, the scripture, that word like was added by the translators. So really, to get a better action, a better translation, when I call it that, look at the New Living Translation, and then we'll look at the Passion. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Not like it. No, no. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And the Passion Translation, it says, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul, but the one whose heart is crushed does what? Struggles with sickness and depression. So it's important that no matter what we're walking through, we need to maintain a cheerful heart. You've got to determine that everything may look like it's again, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to cheer myself up. David did. Let's look at the Amplified of Proverbs 17:22. It says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, the medical industry, I think sometimes, you know, I've read some articles, and even the medical industry has insight in this. They've done, you know, you have a doctor here. If you look at some of these studies they've done at very high institutions, they've shown that a person's attitude, how they go into an operation, how they go in, can affect how they come out and recover. Do they have a cheerful countenance? Do they have a positive attitude and outlook? Can affect the outcome. That's just a natural thing. And then, of course, all the things scientifically they say that it does to our body, it lowers blood pressure, it relieves stress, all of these things. I remember, who was it? Mark Hankins was sharing this story. He was talking about Bishop Keith Butler. And he shared this story, I guess Bishop Butler did. But he went to the doctor and he had something going on in his body. And the doctor came back to him and said, here's what I want you to do. There's stress in your body. He said, I want you to have 10 good belly laughs a day. That was the doctor's recommendation. Wasn't medicine, but it is medicine. Sometimes we need to say, I'm on meds. I'm on happy meds. I'm on joy meds. You know, somebody says, what's wrong with you? You say, I'm on meds. And say, you don't look too stressed. I'm on meds. Right? That'd be a good conversation starter, wouldn't it? But that's what the doctor told Bishop Butler. He said, I want you to have 10 good belly laughs a day. And he walked out of that issue. And so sometimes we sit and get overly worked up about issues in our life, and sometimes we need to just have a good belly laugh and laugh at the circumstance. How can we be laughing and confident? Because the devil is defeated. Sickness is defeated and been paid for. So we're coming from a place of victory, a place of overcoming, not defeat. So we can laugh. You see? But it has to be developed. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you, every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So if faith can grow and love can grow and abound, so can joy, the fruit of the Spirit. But you've got to develop it, just like your faith. You've got to develop your faith by what? Feeding on the Word of God and doing what? Exercising it. I heard one minister say this is so true. Don't ever think that you will have unchallenged faith. You're going to walk through life, you are going to be challenged on every turn because the devil's going to challenge your faith. Well, what does it say? Let's look at James 1:2 in the King James. What does somebody whose faith is challenged, what am I supposed to do? Count it all joy. Don't say moan and cry. What does it say? Count it all joy. My brethren, count it all joy, James 1:2. When ye fall into, that means, that word fall into in the Greek means surrounded by, surrounded with. It says when you fall into divers temptations, that means adversity, temptation. So when you're surrounded by adversity, What are you supposed to do? Count it all joy. That word count means to think, consider. I'm going to consider it an opportunity now to have a good laugh. Brother Hagin used to talk about this. He'd say when death would grip his body, he'd just laugh. He said, "No, I didn't feel like it, but I just started to laugh. I started to laugh." He said, "Why?" "Because the devil's defeated." And he said those symptoms would get up and leave. Let's look at the New Living Translation of James 1:2. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." And then verse 3, it says, "For you know that when your faith is what? Tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow," as verse 4. "For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I like some other translations. The Berkeley translation says, "Consider it maximum joy when you're involved in all sorts of trials." And I like the Wiest translation because it puts it more in how we should operate. It says, "Be constantly rejoicing. Consider it a matter of unadulterated joy without any admixture of sorrow." What does unadulterated mean? Pure, that's what the NIV says. "Consider it pure joy." That means you're not mixing any sorrow with it. It's pure joy. Where is that coming from? Right down on the inside of me. I consider it pure joy. I've got to stir up that pure joy out of my spirit and begin to laugh at circumstances. And you know what happens? When you do that, wisdom will rise up on the inside of you. Light will rise up, not only just the joy of the Lord, but God's wisdom will rise up. He'll show you what to do. Because you're laughing at a circumstance, considering what God has said about me, who I am in Christ. Amen. I like this saying, Mark Hankins uses this. He said, "Your celebration is a demonstration of your expectation." I like that saying. He said, "Your celebration is what? A demonstration of your expectation." Yeah, when we celebrate, I'm demonstrating what I expect. I'm healed. And I'm rejoicing for it. This positions us to receive from God, celebrating the finished work of Christ, celebrating what he's done for me. He said I'm healed, so I judge it so. Now, does that mean I don't do things that I need to do? If I need to go get a checkup, do I do that? If I need to go to the doctor, I go do that. But I'm celebrating the whole time. I'm declaring that I'm healed. I'm declaring what God has declared. You know, there was something that Gladys Brooks shared by the Spirit. She shared this when we were up in Pennsylvania one time. She had this is something the Holy Ghost gave her. She said, "Don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it, and I'll reverse it." Some of these Holy Ghost sayings have so much light in them. When you say don't nurse it, what does that mean? Don't make friends with the sickness. Don't rehearse it. What does that mean? Don't talk about the sickness. Don't rehearse it. Reverse it, disperse it. What does that mean? Speak to it. Speak to the sickness. And when the Holy Ghost said, I'll reverse it, this is the God kind of faith that will remove the sickness. Let's look at Psalm 5, verse 11. Psalm 5 and 11. It says, but let all those that do what? Put their trust in thee moan. No, it says rejoice. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou dost what? Thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Glory to God. He loves us. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:8 in the Amplified. It says here, without having seen him, you do what? You love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and do what? Exalt and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. So even though I don't see him, I can have what? Joy, knowing what? That he loves me. So this joy is a heavenly joy. It's a triumphant joy. Glory to God. Let me just look at some things here. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 10 and 11 in the King James. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of what? Because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. In verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So what are we saying? Resurrection life dwells in you. Because of what? Because of the indwelling of his spirit in us. So faith is believing and speaking, and the language of faith can also be a sound like laughter. So faith is what? Believing and speaking. But the sound of faith can sound like laughter. I'm laughing, I'm releasing my faith in words that I speak. I'm releasing my faith in laughter and in joy because of my confidence in him. Glory to God. So we need to have a merry heart. We need to have that and stir that up. Don't let the fear of this world come on you and grip your mind and your thinking. Be led. If we're led, we're led by the Spirit of God. We walk by what? Faith, not by fear. We walk by faith and not by sight. Fear walks by sight. Walks by feelings and sight. It doesn't mean that we just march into things not being or being aware of things and just not even consider that. It means that when we walk through life, we see things, we observe things, and we say, okay, Lord, what should I do? He may say, keep going. He may say, don't go there. He did that with Paul. Don't go into that city. He told a disciple, don't go in there. You're going to have a problem if you do. Well, you can't blame him if you end up getting your backside beat up. You can't blame God if you go somewhere and you know, you read some stories about John G. Lake. You know, it talks about John G. Lake, who went to Africa and was bold in the Spirit of God to tell them, put that disease on my hand, it'll die. But you further read in his life that he died at an early age, at 60, in his 60s, because he ran himself into the, he extended himself too far. He did some things that he shouldn't have done. So you read up a little bit. You know, Brother Hagin talked about it. He ran himself too much, and the Lord said, no, you're wearing yourself out. You live in a physical body. So we are led by the Spirit of God, but we also confess the promises of God. We receive them by faith. But I don't operate in fear. The world operates in fear. And because we can operate in faith, we can laugh at circumstances and we can overcome. Amen. Glory to God. I can rejoice and laugh because why? I'm convinced that I'm healed. I've done it many times. Just laugh. Just decide to laugh. You know, if you're going to be moved, if you're going to wait till you feel like laughing, you're not in faith. Your faith is being challenged by a circumstance in your body. So you need to just decide, I'm going to stir up joy, heavenly joy in me, and begin to laugh at these circumstances because they're defeated. And I overcome this world by how? Faith. And faith at that moment is being expressed by my laughter. I believe, what is it? Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is what? It's my strength. Glory to God. So let's continue to feed upon these things. Meditate upon them. Let the Holy Ghost lead you, but also profess the Word of God. Say the same things He has said about you. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that it is life and health to all of our flesh. And we thank you that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And just before we receive our offering, let us just profess. If you're here or you're watching online, you've never professed Jesus as your Lord, let us make that profession of faith by saying, Father God, I believe that Jesus, and I believe and confess that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I believe he took my sins and he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. So I receive you now, Jesus, as my Savior. Come into my heart. Cleanse me of unrighteousness with your blood. And I now look to you as my Savior now. In Jesus' name, amen. you said that simple prayer and you never remember doing that, you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Glory to God. So if you did that, let us know. Let me know. Contact us, and we'll get some free information to you. Glory to God.